So can we have the, is it your hearing or is it the sound?
I don't know.
Why don't you move right here?
I'm going to move there though so that I can maybe see you.
Okay. We'll try to make the sound. Sometimes my voice dips if I'm like my eyes are closed. So I'll need just kind of say louder and I'll make it louder. Yeah, maybe you can just be aware.
Yeah, I think we got it.
Okay, good.
We've just come from training on words, so how about we say, louder, my love?
Louder, my love. That sounds so good.
Enhance the volume, please.
Yeah.
Your words are like mana to my ears. I want more.
You may not have to say it.
I know. We can just sit here and keep going. I'm going to wait another minute. My drummers may have... Oh, they haven't forgotten me.
Yeah. Let's maybe expand a little bit more. I'd love it if we could stay in one circle and yet stay intimate. There's room for one more chair over there too. Yeah, that should do us. Keeping in mind the words of Pirzia this morning about the power of words and the power of not just the words but the meaning behind the words, and not just that meaning but the intention that comes from within you. Let's say the invocation together. Towards the One, the perfection of love, harmony, and beauty, the only being, united with all the illuminated souls who form the embodiment of the Master, the Spirit of Guidance. I want to remind you that our purpose here is to start from that boundless state from which we all whirled into life, and then move into that place where spiritual power develops, and then bring ourselves into right relation with that spiritual power that's developing within us. And this is the difference between the kind of magic that causes harm and the kind of magic that co-creates a beautiful world filled with beautiful people. And then into action. Come join us in the circle. There's room. Yes, before I start this, I want to remind you that we're beginning with sound, and not the kind of sound that you filter through your mind saying, oh, I like this, or I don't like this, or, you know, this is the kind of music that makes me happy or unhappy. This is a sound, a use of sound as a tool of awakening. So I really want to encourage you to follow the sound and see where it brings you. Again, these are all pieces of music that Pier Vilaya used in his teaching.
Thank you.
let yourself become a part of the universe. Letting go of boundaries. Dancing with the stars. Finding the stars and galaxies within you. Free yourself, letting the mind fall away. Letting ideas be like comets zipping across the boundlessness of space. And from this place, this experience of being, you might become aware of a faint tug. A heartbeat. A heartbeat drawing you. Reminding you. That there's something more to what you are. A heartbeat so pure. Reminding you of sacredness. And then you might remember that swish of love that we call breath, drawing you towards that heartbeat. Breathing in towards that sacred place. Breathing in deeply. And as you breathe out, responding. And so there's a part of you that's boundless, still in being, still in unity, a part being drawn to that sacred place. And the breath, the vehicle between. Breathe in, breathing deeply towards love. Breathe out towards love. Breathe in the flow of love. Breathe out a flow of love. For you, that energy that runs the universe that we call love might manifest as light. For you, it might manifest as sound. For you, it might be energy. For you, it might be something else. Be aware. The sacredness of breath. And as you breathe, you might become aware of your own heart, breathing deep into that place within the body that opens to the universe of love. Breathing in from infinity to the universe of love. Breathing out and sharing from that universe of love. And as you breathe in, if you wish to, you could become aware of how in this place, at the depth of your heart, you share the heart of all, the heart of all creation. Breathing in, flowing deep into the heart of all creation, the heart we share. Breathing out the ecstasy of love, transforming the universe by your experience of love. And be aware of your feet on the ground. Be aware of your spine. Be aware of your heart. And open your eyes as if you have never opened your eyes before. Open your eyes to a world with love. The Sufis, when they greet each other, you might find, if you went to India and you were in a room, in a corner of an ancient place, and you woke up in the middle of the night, you might find that others were awake and privileged to tell the story of an experience that he had once of someone pounding on his door in the middle of the night. And at first he was too frightened to answer because someone was pounding on his door in an ancient and sacred and also maybe a little scary sometimes place in the middle of the night. But then he had the courage to open the door and he saw a person disappearing around the corner and followed them. And followed them out into the street and down an alley and around the corner to a place where there was garbage and piles of things, and yet he heard something beyond all of that. And so he kept following that person and he came to a place where there were dervishes greeting each other, looking at each other from this experience of love, of brilliance, of radiance. O King of Kings, O Queen of Queens. And you might look at somebody now, just in this room, and even from your chair, looking across the room at someone, when you think with that feeling that goes with the thought, with that real intention of recognizing a Queen of Queens, a King of Kings, that has an effect, not just on the person, but on the whole. I used to think that this was just a Sufi practice, but it turns out it's a practice of the indigenous people as well. And it's a practice of the Buddhists, surprisingly, as well. And the difference is where the Sufis, we cross our arms across our chest and we bow deeply to the majesty and the splendor of another soul. In some other traditions, they join foreheads and connect forehead to nose, and maybe we'll do that before we leave. It's a wonderful experience. So this continuum from the boundless domain, from that domain of eternity, from the awakened universe, from the experience of being, into the heart. That's a very powerful conduit. This is where the divine power manifests in reality. Yesterday we talked about another way of manifesting, and yet, if you remember, in the end, it did also come through the heart in another way. We like to think of the heart as a vehicle of love, but it's also a vehicle of manifestation. Today, I want to talk to you about something that can be a little tricky. And so I'm going to ask you to interpret my words. If you are a person that is sitting here and you do not like the word God, then ask yourself, what is the word I like? What's the one that works for me? And you use that word. If you are a person that doesn't like to be told what to do, then what I'm about to say, I'd like you to interpret that as not being told what to do, but instead being given the keys to living fully in your life. If you're a person that something that I say is about to push your buttons, remember this moment and ask yourself, how can I interpret that so that I can take it in rather than have it bounce off this opinion that's resting in front of me? Okay, is it all right for me to talk now? Why am I doing this? I'm doing it because we're talking about bringing a transformation to the wholeness of life. We're talking about building a beautiful world filled with beautiful people, and we're talking about it at a time that it seems that there's a desperate need for more love and harmony and beauty. And so I'm hoping that you're sitting here thinking to yourself, okay, I'm ready to give up my trip and see what happens now. I hope I've given enough of a precursor. Okay. Here we go. The first and the most important principle is the cultivation of the heart quality. That was the easy one. In the spiritual path, the development of willpower is like the college education. The moral education, which comes before. But after finishing the development of willpower, then there comes a work, a duty that one has to perform before God and toward humanity. By extending this thus developed willpower, stand before God in simple faith, being as a child. Isn't it interesting that in speaking about willpower, in speaking about this transformative capacity within us, we're encouraged to stand before that which created us, that which is the source of our life, as a child, with innocence. You will say, I know nothing. I have not learned anything. I am only an empty cup, waiting to be filled. I have love to offer you, and because my love is too insufficient, I ask to be given more. This is an example of how you can be in communication, in communion with the source of your life, in order to make use of those qualities that are being called from your experience. So in this way, your life experience, instead of being your problems, becomes your education. It becomes the way that the divine communicates with you in order to call forth more of certain qualities into life. Okay, I'm going to stop there because I just said something really big, and this would be a good time for you to complain or ask a question, or I'd like to know what you think about this.
Can you repeat it? Just the last one?
Yes. So, in this, Pierre Mershon and Icon is talking about the development of willpower. And he begins by saying to be a child before God. And then he says, you stand before God in simple faith. At that moment, you will say, I know nothing. I haven't learned anything. I'm only an empty cup waiting to be filled. I have only love to offer you. And because my love is too insufficient, I ask to be given more. I have only faith, and yet that is insufficient, so I ask to be strengthened and developed in faith, to be strong enough to hold me before you. So this is an example. You're having a really bad day. Someone just accused you of something you didn't do. Or if you did do it, you didn't do it the way they accused it. Or who knows, whatever it is. You're feeling really bad about yourself. Or, I'm just going to give scenarios until everyone relaxes enough that you start to talk. Or,
scenario include a teenager?
Oh, absolutely. And they say, you just don't understand me, you just don't get me, and you remember, you get it. Yeah, and so something is being called out of you. There's this place of discomfort, right? And in that place of discomfort is an opportunity. It's an opportunity for you to not know. Because what happens when you don't know? All of a sudden, there's room in you. The cup is no longer full. All of a sudden, there's room in you for something that you could not conceive of because it's really not there yet to emerge. And that would be a new understanding or a new inspiration, right? Sure.
Actually helped discharge some of the tension. tension that had built up in the space. And then I was able to, I needed to make another, so it broke that situation in the outer world. But what I really felt was I needed another way to approach a situation, which I needed to do more in it as an internal way in that process, which I didn't do. And so it allowed something else to come. But what I would just say is that it was more painful to be in what felt like a very unloving situation to me than to, all I can say is the tears were kind of a breakthrough of something, but then it allowed me to ask, is there another way to be? Did I see things differently? Could I look at the situation in a new way? And I just kept asking and asking. And in truth, it was for me to learn how to have more compassion, to be able to be a place of compassion for what was happening for this other person, rather than to worry about the part of me that needed to learn this job, which I found to be quite interesting.
Thank you. So we are inner life, and we have access at all times in our life to that place of unity. That's a place we can put our attention to, that boundless place within the heart, that place where we are part of all that is alive, including our living planet. And then we move into the experience of manifesting. So let's do a practice. And in this practice, we'll be aware of that downward conduit of a cross, and then also the expansive conduit from within. We like to think of the cross as like this, but let's think of this cross as like this, and then from deep within out into the universe. So this cross actually is multidimensional. It goes out in all directions, okay? So we'll have a heartbeat. As the heart is beating, I want to say something to you. Why is it so important when you are in the world to have this connection to that which is the source of you, the source of your life, the source of love, the source of everything? This is what keeps you aligned with the wholeness. In order to keep people happy throughout the ages, we've had religions that call upon prayer, because prayer is our most powerful practice. And by prayer, what I mean is communication with that source. staying aligned with that source. Trusting in the wisdom that is beyond individual wisdom. Then that which you do in the world becomes part of sacredness. So we do this practice, remembering that we are giving voice to that boundless love. Begin by resting in that cross, being aware of that vertical dimension. Being aware of the horizontal dimension. And now affirming the divine power, the divine presence, the divine blessing. Ishq Allah Ma'bud Allah. 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 Pause. And now as we continue with that heartbeat, and you continue with these words of power, these sounds, let the faces of people you know, the flowers, the birds, the animals, the trees, the locations of places on the planet. Let them come before you as you do this practice. Trust as they come. Ishq Allah Ma'bud Allah. 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 Willpower is like a battery of life, and as difficult as it is to deal with a strong mechanism, and as dangerous as it is to work with a battery of enormous power, so difficult and dangerous it is to develop and work with the willpower. In the first place, power is blinding and beauty is revealing. Wrong and unjust and unreasonable tendencies may arise from power, and one may destroy oneself in the expression. So one prepares before developing willpower, knowledge and strength to control it when it is once developed. Before developing willpower, there's knowledge and strength to control it when it is developed, and that knowledge and clearness of vision to utilize it rightly. Because willpower in humanity is the secret of God. And in this secret, the mighty power of God is hidden. What we call miracle is the outcome of the same power. What we call a miracle is the outcome of this power. Therefore, miracles are not done by man or woman, not by individuals, but by that superman or that superwoman who, in religious terms, is called divine. The difference between what they call white magic and black magic lies only in the use made by the inferior one or by the superior one of the same will power. This is the secret. Yes. The difference between what they call white magic and black magic lies only in the use made by the inferior man or woman or by the superior man or woman of the same will power. It is just by your strength to do harm or to do good, to stay connected or not connected to that source. No better use of willpower can be made than for self-control, for control of the body and control of the mind. So here we are circling back to Pirzia's message of this morning. Pirmarshadamaya Khan says, give to God what goes to God. Give to the world what goes to the world. So I want to open the conversation now to this specific topic. This specific topic of staying in connection. Staying in connection with the whole of yourself. It's not that you're looking out to something far away, but rather staying in connection with that which is right here, right now, always with you. Always part of what you are. So again, just as we did yesterday, let's talk about how you can tell when you are not in connection with that. How you can tell when you're not coming from that place that is connected to that divine source. What would be some examples of that?
Spirit tag, ground pull, with pushing against a lot of resistance.
You feel you're pushing against a lot of resistance. You're not breathing properly.
Feel out of tune.
You feel out of tune.
You're trying to get stuff done yourself and you're worried and you're not trusting.
You're worried.
You're worried, you're not trusting, and you're making it so yourself is doing everything.
You feel like it's all up to you.
Yeah.
tired.
I don't really listen. I don't listen.
You don't listen.
A huge burden to bear.
It's a huge burden. Sounds like every day, doesn't it?
Yeah.
So given that all of that is always there, all of those possibilities, that it seems too heavy a burden, that it's hard to listen, that no one understands, that it seems like there's a lot of resistance, how does one actually do anything? And here, yes.
I think there's a way to lean inside where your spiritual practices exist and trust in God in having built, and then move from that place out instead of all of the little worldly worlds that go around it. But it's leaning in a different way than is popular right now in the world, but counting on your spiritual practices to keep you right and with the right intention.
Huh. So when you say leaning in, would it be okay if I ask you to say a little more about that? Like,
yes.
Describe it.
Some of my work is with families and people who are upset about being in a certain phase of their life. And so I have at my fingertips all the social work resources I need. It's part of who I am. So if I hear those questions, I'm fine. But sometimes I just take a chance because something has come up. And it comes up again, and I don't say anything, it comes up again. And then I just go for it, and it's exactly what they need. And it's exactly what they need to hear. It may not be about resources, it might be humor, it might be referring them to a book, it might be listening more deeply. Mm. It can be whatever it is, it doesn't have to be said necessarily. But
so it sounds like you trust something that comes to you.
It's here already.
Yeah. Like
it's just if I let all the flutterbys distract me, then I may not connect with it.
Huh.
And all the flutterbys that were just described, I have in abundance.
Huh.
I was just thinking that quite often I'm having one of those sort of out of kilter days.
Could you speak up a little bit?
I can try.
let's all move in a little bit.
I'll
scoot in a little bit so we can hear each other. Okay, thanks, honey.
When I'm having one of those out of kilter kind of days where all of these various things I mentioned might be going on, or one or a few of them, that if I really stop and just try to tune into what is coming from inside of me that I need at that particular moment to come back into connection and balance. And sometimes that need is that I simply need to sit down and knit for a few minutes, or I need to go play the piano for a moment. Just something sometimes that I just need to do for myself. And I'll often feel like, well, I can't do that. You know, that's way too, you know, selfish, or just taking too much time for myself or something. But if I do that, then often everything falls into place. And it was just exactly what needed to happen.
So I hear you saying that you trust your life and actually do things in your life that please you, and they come to you, and it seems like it's useful to the whole of your life, not just personally pleasing. And I also notice that those things you talk about pass the sane and sensible test. The sane and sensible test. Yeah. So I hear you listening to those inclinations that are helpful, and that they are helpful. I want to honor that as a spiritual practice. That I want to honor trusting your life as a spiritual practice. Yeah. Yes?
You know, the thing that always calls me back is that phrase that I heard a very long time ago, Amida Murshid. And something always comes from Murshid's teachings that immediately helps me.
So I hear you calling upon the power of the path that you're on. Yeah, and this is why people that are serious about spiritual awakening are encouraged to find a path that's the right path for you and to connect with that path, whatever it is, and to find a guide.
It really works.
That's why. Yeah, and this particular session, this one that we do at 10:45, is about what works.
Yeah. Can you say the phrase that you say again a little louder so
do you want to say it?
She uses the phrase Amidat Murshid. And that phrase is encouraged when you're in very difficult circumstances, not to be used. You don't want to use it like the person that is crying wolf. You use it at the times that it's really needed. Yeah.
When you really need help.
Yes, and there's the power of this path, that there is something that's there for you when you really need help. Yes.
I recently had a realization or a memory of long drives and how I realized if I just back off on the accelerator 5 or 10%, I get there about the same time, but the whole drive changes. And I guess a week ago I thought, I think I'll do that today. And it felt so good. I thought it was my birthday. I went, okay, this is my birthday gift to me. I'm going to just slow down a bit. What a difference it makes. That 10% is suddenly there's time for practice.
And imagine what happens when you apply that to your life. That you just say to your whole life, well, I think I'll just back off by 10%. I think I'll just breathe deeply and relax and see how that shifts my day.
I find that there is a system where the more I try to apply sometimes my individual will, the more resistance there is. And the more I try to combat that resistance, the more it builds up. And there is a place where I came to realize that the further away I get from my little angel on my right shoulder, the conscience, you know, of the Christian church, the harder it is, but the closer I get back to it, the more life opens up and there is less resistance. So I think that there is a process of realization. When things get really hard and you keep pushing, sometimes, although I know that in the world of business, the idea is that you keep on pushing until you get what you want, but I think in the reality of life there is a point where if you try to perceive why are things getting harder and harder, you may find that there's a little voice inside, which is very little, this way you're not hearing it, or I'm not hearing it. And then you start listening and it say, let go, you know, like gentle, you know, where's your compassion, where's your mercy, where's your love? And as I fall into that, then life becomes much softer, much easier, much less challenging. Mm. That's my guideline. Resistance is my guideline, I guess.
Yeah. So your call is when you feel resistance, and then I'm just trying to repeat back what I heard you say. Then you listen to that little voice in you that reminds you to just let go a little bit, and then everything falls into place. Did I get that? Yeah.
For me, I call it my pure attitude.
Your gratitude.
If I'm pushing through traffic, I'm just getting gratitude.
Yeah. So we're here now, sharing from the pool of our resourcefulness to tools that everyone can apply to the fullness, to create a fullness to your life. And by, what am I talking about? Notice that in each thing that somebody says, there is that point of letting go and connecting to something that is not at the surface of life. Not at the place where you're seeing and hearing, but a place that's deeper.
I should probably add about using that phrase, Amdat Murshid, that it only works if you... I love Murshid, I read Murshid all the time. The sayings, everything is always flowing around in my head, so it's fairly easy, and it will be something from Murshid that pops up, and it'll be the right one. Just a phrase.
Yeah.
That's exactly the right one.
Yeah, so I hear you saying
it won't pop up if it isn't already stored there. So I think that it's really a big part of, it has been a very big part of the path.
Yep. So now we're talking about the power of being in the right place.
That's the same thing as leading inside. She's built the structure.
Yep.
And the well of Murshid's guidance inside her, and she leans in.
And you guys have words.
Yeah. So I really want to encourage us to be aware of interpreting this language. Be aware of interpreting it in the way that it will make use to you for your specific things that are happening in your life. The encouragement is to do a balance of practices, not too many, not too many, a balance of practices, a balance of attunements to develop a strong and steady inner life. People talk about your inner life, that's what they're talking about.
Yesterday, Amir said that there's a book that Murshid wrote that has the Gaia, and it has like four different parts. That's the super duper, all the phrases that he ever came up with, and that his original myriads would memorize it. Which sounds like kind of what you've done.
And everyone has their way. You know, everyone has their path. The constants are what I want to highlight here. One of the constants is diving deep to that place where you become ever more aware of the unity of the whole, that place of being, that place of the universe. The second is then being aware of that which we are always have. It's always there. It's not like you're having to make something. What the practices do is help you to become aware of that which is already there inside of you, that connection to the boundlessness of the creation. So that this is beyond the creation to unity, and then the boundlessness of the whole creation. And then the wisdom to act rightly. And that's where the balance of practice, internal practice, using sound, using attunement, using the development of the heart, the unfurling of the heart, with action in love. Your life becomes your school. It becomes part of your practice. And this is what we're about. Then how does that actualize? How does it actualize in life? It actualizes by your behavior. When you meet someone new, are you thinking, oh, well, I don't like that hairstyle? Or are you thinking, oh, Queen of Queens, oh, King of Kings? When someone's complaining to you, are you gathering your forces in order to join the war that could be beginning? Or are you listening carefully and asking, where's the truth in this? How can I genuinely respond to this other soul, this part of the same wholeness that I participate in? This is the real advanced practice. This is a challenge of our life. And so I just want to encourage us to practice while we're here. Yesterday I gave some practices before we left, and I'd like to give practices now instead of wait till the end. And the practice today is to greet each person as that divine king or queen. Practice today and see how it changes your life. To greet each person as that divine king or queen. To have your conversations, your ordinary conversations, remembering we are part of one whole. We are brothers and sisters in life. Talk about the places where the indigenous practices and the Sufi practices combined. This is it. This is it. And so I'd like to take this last bit of time that we're together to do a little bit more of that zikr of love, and then for us to stand up and before we leave to greet each other as the divine king or queen. And if you care to, if you want to add an indigenous practice, you could bring your forehead down to your nose to connect with that other person. And just relax and see what your experience is. So that's a very, it's not something that we do in the Sufi. In the Sufi world, very often.
You're saying touch forehead's and nose.
I'm saying touch.
So, oh my one God. Of my questions is around this is the sane and sensible test.
That's
so
right.
So I love it. For me, my place to go, I go to movement, you know, and it's, I'm not sure it's always sane and sensible in different situations. I find lots of little places to do that. You know, and you can kind of fake it. But we're about to do this head to nose thing, which is a beautiful thing, and we've created the environment and the vessel to be able to do it. You know, we've built to this place. I would like, and to me, things that are physical like that really take me quickly to a place of greater truth. So in our lives with this, you know, great variety of people in the workplace, where's sort of the flexibility around sane and sensible?
The flexibility is this. If it's going to make people uncomfortable, don't do it. If you're not sure, check. If people seem like it creates a ripple in the force, like I feel, there's a little ripple right here, right now, I just want to encourage people to do what feels good to you. So there's choices when you're with somebody. You may walk up to one person and you take your glasses and you quickly put them on top of your head, and they grab you and you hug and you do the hungi, this thing, and you bow to each other and say, oh king of queens, oh queen of king of whatever you are. And there's bliss. And you might walk up to someone else and there's this sacred atmosphere between you. And it's so beautiful. And to do something like that would actually, it would disturb that atmosphere. And so you honor it by bowing gratefully and honoring them deeply. Oh, Queen of Queens, oh, King of Kings. We're about finding the way to love and harmony and beauty. And that can be different with different people. This is why, you know, I say a little bit about my experience with the indigenous people, and I'm trying to talk about the parts that are absolutely in alignment. There are some very basic things. Love is one. Deep respect is another. Honoring the soul, honoring that we are part of one living whole is another. And then there are cultural things, ways of greeting that each have a great power. A great power. But it doesn't mean you do them all with everybody. So I appreciate you saying that. And I really do want to encourage us to meet each other and meet each other in that open way, which doesn't mean you let everything hang out. It means you act appropriately. That lets you honor the wholeness of who they are. And asking is a very powerful thing. You don't know? Check it out. Yeah. So, let's have that heartbeat. Coming back to that place of unity. If you're not sure you experience it, don't worry about it, it's in you. Just relax. Know it's there. Letting your breath engage, breathing deep into sacredness, the sacredness of the heart, the sacredness of your life. Ishq Allah Ma'bud Allah. 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 Breathing deep, breathing deeply, breathing in that boundless energy, that boundless power, that boundless love, that boundless sacredness. Breathing out and answering, letting that upwelling of divine presence, divine sacredness bless you, bless your life. Opening your eyes to the unity of the whole creation. Looking around at the uniqueness of each soul. And paying attention that we walk on sacred ground. Go and find some people to say hello to. Remember, talking's okay.
Great. I must say that we're going to move out of this space because we won't have the ability to use it later today. Another group is coming in. So you don't have to be apart. You can still be together, but you might have to be together outside the auditorium. You can still stay together. You can just walk all together like that. And you do have to move to the second part of the day.
Yeah, I think, yeah.